I'm going to do a call to order here. Everybody stand, please, do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Steve, would you like to do a prayer?
Sure.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, can we have an official roll call? Let's start with you, Steve.
Steve Bone, here, present.
Larry Bagshaw, present.
Victor Tyo, present.
George Gorkowski, present.
Sharon Hillman, present.
It's up to you, Corey.
Corey Ashworth is on the phone. Corey's on the phone.
All right. I declare a quorum. So this is a consideration of discussion of general unscheduled comments from the public. Is there anybody from the public that would like to have any comments? I see no one online, Steve, and there's no one here in the office. So I'm going to move on.
Okay.
All right, now we're going to get into the training session about open meeting law and public records. And Steve, I believe that's your bailiwick, so feel to go ahead.
Sure, and thank you. People should have a handout on conducting public meetings. Sharon, did you? Everybody's got that?
Yes, we all have the handouts, Steve.
No, this isn't public meeting. That's rules and regulations.
Oh.
No, we don't have a handout for it. We thought you were going to do your PowerPoint.
Oh. Well, I've got a PowerPoint. I'm just not, I don't know how to share and do all of that. But you know what? It's not needed. It's not needed. So let me just work through it. You guys all know who I am, and it's going to take, because this is mostly a refresher, I'm going to go through my presentation rather quick, but I want to make sure that you understand. I want questions, okay? I want you guys to learn. We want to apply it to what we are actually doing on the ground. So I've got about, if this was a presentation, I have about 16 slides that have material that are important. And at each one, I'm going to stop and say, okay, any questions? So go ahead and let me get through each sort of stopping point, or at least, you know, every heading, if you will. And I'll then stop, and if you have a question, ask it, because that's the important one. So moving forward quickly, here's the first and foremost. And this is the important part to think of as a board, because this is who I'm talking to. The duty of the board is to do essentially five things. You have to act in the best interest of the public body, the district. It's pretty simple. You have to perform legal duty. The two primary legal duties laid out in statute are, you got to have elections, you got to pass budgets, and the rest is oversight for the most part. You have to stay within the legal parameters, and that's usually pretty easy. We'll talk more about that. Here's a kicker. You cannot delegate your judgment or discretionary powers. That is something that we will also get into more detail about, but essentially what we're talking about there is that big picture items. You know, you can't just delegate and say, hey, you know, these are substantive matters. You know, we're just going to let staff decide. You can't do that. Or conversely, you just can't say, you know, even to an attorney, you can't tell me, hey, we're going to let you just decide this matter. It doesn't work that way. The board has to make the big picture decisions. That's just what you do. That's what you signed up. That's why they pay you the big bucks, right?
Yeah.
And then finally, if you have a financial ownership or interest in something, you can't vote on it. So, you know, those are the very big general rules of thumb. So I'm going to stop there and ask her questions. If you don't, we'll just move on quick.
I guess, Steve, the thing that I want to maybe have clarification is, although we have the definition, maybe from you as a practitioner, what constitutes a meeting? Because one of the things that, you know, as an example, right, we're trying to set up a meeting, trying to see who's available and if people can make it, and people are saying don't reply because of open meeting law, right? Right?
Right.
When open meeting law basically says, you know, if the purpose is to discuss, propose, deliberate something of a legal action, that constitutes a meeting. I'm not too sure why we're so careful not to respond on availability on trying to set up a meeting. So maybe that's my
okay. thing.
What is a meeting, right? So.
Okay, right. And this is something that people have probably beat the board meeting, the board members over the head with. If you have a quorum of directors on an email chain, any response back to the group would constitute a meeting. Because remember, the whole purpose of this is to ensure that they're called sunshine laws in most states, okay? And the whole intent is to make sure that the public and the business being carried out by the district is open to the public, i.e., you know, shed sunlight on it. And what was happening is that things were getting decided and votes were being taken and positions were being made via email. And that's not what people want to have happen. So the laws and the people interpreting the laws came out pretty clearly and said, yeah, A, the recommendation usually is, you know, don't ever hit your reply all button. That's what everybody has said. It's once you hit reply all, it constitutes a meeting if you have a quorum of board members on. And we'll get into that a little bit more.
Okay.
So, Steve, we're getting printouts.
Do you have a follow-up question?
We're getting printouts.
We're getting some printouts, Steve.
I have a follow-up question, and basically it actually comes out of our district rules. What is the rule around serial meetings? What I see in our reading is a serial meeting is any series of communications that has less than a quorum and it's discussing things on the board. Is it, now I don't know the Arizona statutes of that. I know in our meeting it said we can't do it, so I'm just curious.
Well, two board members can communicate to each other any way they like. It's just when you get a quorum that you have a problem.
So
I don't know if that answers your question.
I think the issue in that is two board members outside of a meeting like this discussing an item that's going to be on an agenda together is where you get into a problem. It's not regular business, it's agendaizing.
No,
stuff.
But when I read 4.9 of our rules, it doesn't say that. So we probably need to amend it.
Okay.
Because this is saying a serial meeting is defined as a series of communications, each of which involves less than a quorum of the board, and during which the board members discuss outside of public meeting a topic that is or may be presented to the district for a decision. And that's what our rules, which means that we can't talk about any business at all. That's what that means.
Yeah, I'll look at that. At another time, because I mean, I didn't read that. I wasn't prepared for that question.
No problem on that issue.
So I'll tell you, that's probably, you know, if it's prohibited in the rules, that's a stricter interpretation and a stricter rule that we have than even the open meeting law. So, and I find that quite often when districts adopt their own rules and bylaws and things of this nature, what you do is you tie your own hands.
Yeah.
And half the time the rules aren't followed anyway. So you will find out, and Sharon has heard that, and Corey's heard that. I'm not a big fan of you know, intensive, big set of rules and bylaws for districts.
Okay, thanks,
so,
Steve.
But if you do have them, But if you do have them and you don't follow them, then you have to deal with the AG. We do know that.
Yeah, if you have them, exactly. If you have them and you don't follow them, then you're causing yourself problems.
Yeah.
So, okay. So understanding the roles, and I, you know, frankly, this is a big picture issue here that, frankly, this district is struggling with a little bit because, you know, we did lose our general manager. And so understanding the role of a board, and the other part of this is that your bylaws cloud this quite significantly. Under the way the statutes of districts are written, a board has a distinct role. The board should govern, and that means it gives direction and makes policy decisions. Okay? Then underneath the board, you have a manager, and this is the way the framework is set up, and it's kind of, you know, just almost implied in the laws, because if you look at the statutes, it doesn't really give a lot of detail on what boards do, except, hey, you're the governing entity.
Okay,
but the implication here is that there's going to be a manager hired, whether it's one manager who takes care of the office, or it's two managers where you have, a general manager takes care of both the office and the field, or you separate it and you have a manager in the field and a manager in the office. I've seen it both ways. You know, those are the people. The manager is the person that talks to the board, carries out the board policies. The board says we want to do something. It's the manager that does the day-to-day work and administers what the board decides. Okay. And then finally, you have staff, which is hired by the manager. They talk to the manager. They work for the manager. All of those things. So you have a chain of command, if you will. You have staff working. They report to managers. Managers report to the board. The board makes the big decisions. And then, of course, the last bullet point there is you have an attorney. They are hired by boards. Attorneys and accountants, they're hired by boards, they're fired by boards, they work with the manager and you know, the designated board people. It's usually a chairman and one other person, unless you have a board of only three people, then it's just the chairman. So that's kind of where the roles are. So I'm going to stop for questions there.
So Steve, it's Victor again. So. So it's clear none of us should be in operational day-to-day role, right? So the board is not responsible for that. In our case, which we don't have a manager, what is the interim remedy? Should we designate like an officer in charge from the staff or?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, I'm sitting here telling you this is the way the legal framework is, but the problem is, you know, your district overlaid a corporate, like a corporate system on top of this. And if you read your bylaws, you know, it basically says, hey, okay, we've got these board positions. And then it goes through very clearly, you know, takes those board positions and says, well, one board member is going to be a secretary, one's going to be this, one's going to be a treasurer, one's going to be that is not the way government entities like this district are usually operating. So what happened is, for some reason, through either, you know, just not thinking about it, peer people weren't experienced with boards, didn't understand the issue, they overlaid these bylaws and these rules, which very clearly basically say, yeah, board members, you're going to be day-to-day operations. You know, we're going to assign work like that. So in one hand, you have a system, a statutory system that basically says, hey, board members, you guys are just a big picture above the ground, you know, directing a manager. And then you have another one basically saying, you know what, no, guys, you're day-to-day, jump in there, do the work. You know, which do you follow? Now, technically, as a lawyer, I'm going to tell you, you know, by adopting those bylaws, you kind of adopted a situation where the board members are directed to do it. And that's kind of where you are. But I think it's causing a lot of confusion in your district because of that. You know, basically you have two documents or two systems, two legal frameworks you know, that are not consistent and are usually not done the same way. So I think this problem that you guys are facing, quite a bit of issues that you're contemplating and having issues with, it's because of what they did back in 1998. So ideally, I would like to move the board members to more of a subjective, or, you know, governing role instead of the day-to-day operator. And I think the board members would too. I think that'll be better for everyone in the long run. The other issue, of course, you have right now is that for a year or so, you haven't had a general manager. So who's going to do the work? You know, the people, board members have been doing the work. There's no question about it. And I think under the bylaws, that's, you know, supposed to be happening in your district. It's just not ideal.
Well, in our rules and regulations, it also takes those officers and designates what their jobs are. For instance, the chairperson directs the manager. So then the manager only has to go to one person, not seven people, which is fine if you have a manager. But when you don't have a manager, then you're swimming like we are.
Exactly. Well, and just take the other jobs. I mean, look at treasurer. I look at treasurer. I mean, that clearly contemplates like day in, day out work.
Yes,
it really does.
It does.
And it should, you know, that's my take on it. So
it should not. I'm
sorry. Okay.
Yeah. It
should.
Yeah.
Should not.
Well, it doesn't really dictate day to day work. It dictates oversight of day to day work. Because the treasurer doesn't do the day-to-day work.
Right, and I agree you don't, but it's a really fine line. You know, it's a really fine line, and I think, Sharon, that you walk that line, and you do it, but in my look at it, it's like, you know, that structure of the way that it's set up and said, hey, do all of this, you know, I would prefer it to be a little cleaner, you know. And now the exception is, look, there is never any issue with a board saying directly, hey, we want a board member to be responsible for this project and do it with express direction. I don't have a problem with that, you know, and I see it happen all the time. You know, we just need to be clear. My point in this whole thing is that you have a district structure that operates one way or the board is very much removed from anything in the day-to-day operations. And then you have these bylaws and rules that do quite the opposite, which keeps you, maybe you're right, maybe it is not actually getting in there and running the numbers on the accounting, but sure does, you know, contemplate a very close relationship where, you know, you're not doing a couple hours of work every month like the normal board. You're having to do real work and real oversight, and that's not what districts normally do. So there is a little bit of a difference in those two approaches.
Well,
so,
hey Steve, can you hear me?
Yep.
So I think right now this is about understanding and training. Just a sidebar question, which is, can we over time, is it within our purview to change any of those bylaws, or are those in stone from 98?
Oh, absolutely. I think you'll change your bylaws at some point for your own peace of mind and to get things corrected and moving in a way that is best for the district. And everything, and I'll tell you, there's nothing here that I'm looking at saying that's just wrong. You know, you're not going to see that from me. If there's nothing that I would look at and see what somebody has said. And, sorry, I don't know how to turn off my phone, so we'll just have to deal with that. But over time, I think we need to look at it because I think it's causing some problems.
Thanks.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Steve. I'm kind of concerned, and this is nothing against you, Sharon, so please don't take it that way. But if something happens to you tomorrow, we're going to fail.
That's the 50th time I've heard that since I've been on the board in 7 years.
Okay.
Nothing can ever happen to anybody else but only me.
Well, I don't do as much as you. That's obvious.
Yeah, but this is all of this extra stuff that I've been doing since 2018 with the funding is because I'm skilled at doing that. We don't have staff that can do that.
So the question,
this is all going to end at 2025, all this extra stuff. When the projects are done and the USDA funding is done, all of that's going to stop.
We're not going to ever get any more funding. We're not going to have any more projects ever.
Well, I'm not out there getting more funding right now because we're already, we're to where we can be.
Maxed.
Well, I understand, but all I'm saying is we still have the potential of getting more funding and have more projects. You can't say it's going to end at 2025.
Oh. What I'm saying is what we have currently is going to end at 2025.
Right. And I guess the point I'm making is, you know, if there really is that much work, in which you do have a lot of work and I see you here all the time, maybe the issue is a staffing issue. Maybe we should bring on staff so that you don't have to do as much, which means slowly weaning it off. 2025 is only a year away, 2 years away. Which calendar?
Where's your calendar?
But, 2 years. It's only 2 years away. I mean, we got the transition plan can't start in 2025.
I'm trying to get someone to take over this stuff. I have been trying,
but
nobody wants it.
Well, maybe there's a staffing issue. I'll end it with that.
And you know, the bottom line is, and Sharon and I have had this discussion, you know, and I'm using this as because, frankly, it's the easiest example. You know, part of it has been, and I can talk about Corey or you, George, or Ray Headings or Sharon. Without a general manager, the board has looked at its responsibilities and said some of this stuff just needs to get done, and they stepped in and they've done it. Under your bylaws, you have you're charged with doing that under the bylaws. You know, my biggest point is, it's great that you guys did that, you know, and I'm not sitting here saying that is like you've done something fundamentally wrong or illegal. That is not it. I'm saying for the long course and longevity of the district, that can't be the way to operate and go forward. You know, for a time, for a short period, I think we all agree that has to happen sometimes. But, you know, if we're still doing this in a year, a couple things are gonna happen. A, your board members are gonna get completely burned out. And B, we're still gonna have this miscommunications and misunderstandings with members of the public who are asking, well, why are board members doing this? Because there's nobody else. That's really one of the main answers. But with that said, you know, I'm going to go back to the presentation and say, okay, I'm not here to give you fixes. I'm here to just educate. So, but I think we all know where this is going. Okay, and this goes to Victor's question before. Okay, open meeting law. All of your meetings must be conducted in public. Okay. So whenever you have a forum of the board discussing a district issue, that is a meeting, and they have to be agendized, and they have to be available so the public can watch. Now, again, clearly, public doesn't have to be able to say anything, but they have to be able to watch, hear, listen. So the exception to that is the executive session. And I'm going to stop on that one and see if there's any questions. I think we had the question before, but I told Victor, yeah, if we have a follow-up, there was a point to ask it. This is probably it.
All right. I think this, we just need to see what the intent is on this, Steve. I've read the open meeting law. The intent is a legal action. It's a decision, right? And there are deliberations around it. So I think we're overly cautious when we're just trying to set up a meeting and we can't even communicate, right? Or the other side of this is if something is being deliberated, instead of saying, guys, stop, say, this needs to be an agenda item on an upcoming meeting. Instead of like quashing the discussion, there's gotta be a more effective outlet between those two extremes, right? So.
Well, okay. So Victor, what I'm going to tell you is that I agree with you, but the Attorney General of the state of Arizona disagrees wholeheartedly. I think it's ridiculous. The state of Arizona Attorney Generals for 15 years now have had rulings that said, no, that's, that we're going to do it like this. And I think the very clear, because you're thinking like, it seems ridiculous that you can't even talk about administrative issues. Yeah, I agree, but that's exactly the proposals and the positions that were taken previously when they went to the AGs and they did it, and they were found that they violated open meetings. So we just, you know, it's probably one of those where you say it's an overabundance of caution, but that's where we are.
We just had a change of AG, you know, right? So.
What's that?
We had just had a change of AG.
Doesn't matter.
So if it's an opinion from that AG, I really think even if you look at the open meeting law, there's nothing that specifically says that.
There is. I'll show it to you. I looked at it yesterday. I'll show it to you.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm telling you, it's like that's a violation. You know, that's just the way it is. I know Chris Mays personally. Okay. She ain't changing that. It's not going to happen. So
suicide.
well, it's just one of those where. Okay, we just got to abide by it until the rules change. And I'm going to stress again, Victor, I totally agree with your point. It seems kind of stupid to me. But, you know, that issue was lost 15 years ago.
Okay.
So. All right. Okay, I'm not going to talk about preparing for the meetings. You guys do a great job of that. The one thing that I would say is if we can make sure we stay on time and task. You know, it's always hard for staff and people to put these together at the last minute. We always, and I'm guilty of this, okay? I'm going to tell you right now. You know, I went, oh, I forgot about that, or I just looked at the agenda. Let's do this. Just as a matter of practice, we should try to get those agendas out 48 hours in advance. You know, a couple days is really helpful. And, you know, I'm not going to beat a dead horse there. It's always good to have a schedule of meetings so the public's aware of it. We know that there's going to be, you know, matters to be heard. The sooner we can get those out, the better. That's all I'm going to say on that. So if you have any questions, ask them now. All right. Good. Didn't look like it. Okay, agendas. Now, I'm a little particular on agendas. And the reason why is because, as the indication of my discussion with Victor before were, you know, sort of implied, the attorneys at the Attorney General's office are very, very strict on what needs to be there, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not a practical approach, in my view. But, you know, it's good to know what the rules are. So let's try to meet the agendas the best we can. Remember that this is a guiding document. It has to be posted 24 hours prior to the meeting. You guys do a good job of that. We meet that. It's on the website and other places. That's great. The decision on how to set an agenda, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's essentially what I've seen. You guys kind of have an informal way of doing it. You know, and almost any issue that's raised by a board member can be put on. I see even issues from non-board members that get put on in the past, I've seen it. So that's fine. I mean, I don't see any issue with what's going on. If you want to formalize that, feel free. If you do that, what I would suggest is that, you know, it really should have go through a staff person with the oversight of a, you know, it would be the general manager is usually the person who kind of makes sure that the agenda put in together. Gets put together, they have staff to work on it, you know, and instead of, you know, having to rely on board members to do it, to volunteer their time, you know, normally you'll have a general manager take care of it, assign stuff to staff and move through that way. That's what I want to strive towards and move towards. I hope that can happen. You know, that's really, yeah, there's a couple things on our agenda that are kind of holdovers. Like new business, old business, we don't really need that. The reports are fine. But just remember on reports, when you give reports, and I'll talk more about this, it's not a question and answer session. If you're gonna put it in a report, you know, it's just a statement. It's not gonna start a conversation. If you wanna talk about something in a report, it either has to be on the agenda, separate apart from the report, or you have to wait till next month. that is one of the things that I think as a group we need to think about, because I have seen instances where, you know, reports lead to conversations, especially with the public. You can't do that. That is a violation of the open meeting law. Now, before I go into a lot of detail and say this is a violation, that is a violation, I go almost every public meeting I ever go to, I could pick out several open meeting law violations. Okay, so don't beat yourself up. Every time I go to the Arizona Corporation Commission, I mean, they got five attorneys and an entire staff of people that, man, they violate the open meeting laws left and right. So I'm just going to tell you, don't beat yourself up too much, but we just strive to do it right. Any questions on agenda?
Regarding the reports, I've been on the board since 2017, and it's always, the chairman has always said, does anybody have any questions on that report? Because we've never been told not to do that. So now we're trying to break an old habit and stop doing that. The report is the report, and that's it.
So you can't ask clarifying questions.
And they hate it.
Yeah.
The public hates that. I'm just going to tell you.
Well, they hate us already, so.
Just kick me, George. Kick me, George, if I say that.
Okay. Hey, Mel, one question I had is, when you say a report, a report is something that's being presented that's not being asked to be voted on, right?
Right. You guys have reports.
Our
you have
reports.
Chairman
report.
You have treasurer report. You have my report. You have all these reports. That's fine, but just understand the when you put on a report like that, it's not the start of conversation. And those issues that are raised can't be discussed unless they're independently on that agenda.
Gotcha.
Okay. So to hear what you're saying is, during the presentation of the report, we got to get into a habit that this is just a report. If there's a question, then make it an agenda item, either later on or in the next meeting.
Yes.
Right. I mean, if you can make it... If somehow you caught it 24 hours in advance and you could put it on the agenda, you know, for that meeting, put it on. But if not, you got to put it on until the next month.
So even if it's a clarifying question because you don't understand it?
Yeah.
It shouldn't happen because it's a very slippery slope, you know. Because your clarifying question is going to lead to more questions. I mean, you know, be very careful on that. I mean, I don't like to say, you know, hard and fast, no, you can't clarify that, you know, or if you ask a question like, you know, they talked about a certain piece of property, but no, it wasn't clear in their report what piece of property, or say what well. Oh, the big well went down and blah, 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 blah. You know, I went through the report and he said, excuse me, when you say big well, what were you meaning? You know, which well? Something like that, I would be like, yeah, that's fine, you know. But,
Now you're contradicting yourself.
That's not a good word.
And one hand you're saying we can't do it, and the other hand you're saying, well, maybe it's okay. So.
I'm saying I wouldn't do it, right? I wouldn't do
it. Well, that's what we need to not do it.
Well, I guess as a matter of practice, so that we comply with the law, could it be that you present a report on today's meeting as an example, and just say any questions will be discussed at the next meeting for any questions on this report? So that way there's a presentation of a report, and then there's an agenda item on questions on the report. I mean, that...
Yeah. Or, George, honestly, you know what you can do is say... After the meeting, go talk to them and say, hey, you know, Larry, what was the deep one? What well are you talking about? And he answers it, you go, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's it.
But I think you're talking more about us communicating with the public, not with each other.
Exactly. Remember, this is for the public's benefit.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
So... talked about that, you know, pretty easy.
Now, according
to the agenda,
our agendas are, according to our rules and regulations, are created by the chairman and the secretary. Other people can put items, give them items that they might want on the agenda, but our rules and regulations say they're created by the chairman and the secretary.
Yep.
So what does that mean? So any board member can come up with an agenda item, but our rules say
suggests the
right
agenda.
And then the agenda will be formally approved by the chairman and the secretary. Okay.
You have to suggest what you want on the agenda to the secretary.
Right.
And then they determine what goes on the agenda.
Yep. Which I think we practice. So.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen you guys have a problem with that. I have seen other ones where people stop putting agenda items on because, you know, they've heard it 15 times. But, you know, I haven't seen that yet. Consent agenda, you guys do that, you understand it, I'm not going to go through it. Items for individual consideration. Okay, these are where you go and say, okay, this is where you specifically identify the action. And in our agendas, as we move forward, you know, the language, the catch-all language that I put up at the top is always, you know, discussion, possible action on the following issues, and then you list the issue. So that's relatively easy and straightforward to do. It captures everything that could be done, could be discussed, could be acted upon, no requirements per se. I'm probably going to bounce around here just a little bit, but as a matter of practice, we can talk about public comments here. Public comments can be handled in one of three ways. One, you could just simply say, there are no public comments. You can do that, okay? As we said before, these meetings are right. The public has the right to watch the meetings, hear the meetings, not participate, okay? The other issue is you could have all public comments, like right at the beginning. Doesn't matter if it's on the agenda or not, they could just have 3 minutes to make their public comments and move on. And the third option, which is usually the way I suggest it, which is, you know, the public comments at the beginning of the meeting would be for public comments of things that are not on the agenda. So, you know, public comments and they just want to talk about something we have nothing to know about, like, you know, an easement issue or something. You know, that's not on the agenda. They can raise it. Can't respond to it, but they can raise it and put it on the agenda next month. But things that aren't on the agenda, public talks about at the beginning, and then when the issue comes up, the public could make their comments, you know, regarding that one issue. And again, I do like to limit public speaking down to 3 minutes for two reasons. One, if you can't say it in 3 minutes, you're struggling. You know, 3 minutes is a long time. You can always ask for more time, but these are discrete issues. Normally, things can be done in 3 minutes readily. The other reason you want to limit the time is you will have people that kind of filibuster and just feed off of it. So really? That's important.
So, Steve, maybe for me it's just clarification. There's actually two types of public, for the public to be able to say something. One is an agenda called items for individual consideration. And then there's another agenda item called open comment. Is that correct? Or are they melded together?
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of the way it works. But the districts can do it either way they want. You know, they can they can have all the comments at the beginning, whether it's on the agenda or not, or you can have, you know, non-agendized issues for the public. They can raise them at the very beginning, and then if somebody, you know, if another person in the public had a comment on an agenda item, they can talk, you know, about it at that time.
Okay.
So whichever way you want to proceed.
We can do two items or merge them. The other thing is this, for items for individual consideration or even an open comment, I guess to me it should it be practiced that we should hear the comment, right? We should allow it to be said. And then someone acknowledges that we will respond or say we are receiving it, but we're not responding right now. Is that
right? Right, exactly. I mean, you know, if it's something that's not on the agenda, we'll say, well, okay, thank you, we heard that. And, you know, that's all you can do. You might tell them that it might be on the next agenda item.
Right.
If it's something that's on the agenda, and this is critical, and this is mostly for Corey, okay? So let the people talk it first, whatever, like on an individual item, you know, let's say we're talking about, you know, SB3, Beak Well, and that's an issue, okay? Let the people that want to talk about it say their piece, okay? Then the board can talk about it, okay? But you don't go back and let the public talk about it again. I mean, they said their piece, they told you their position. You know, there are people in the public that will want to debate and engage in discussions. It's not what boards are supposed to do. The board is supposed to act on the comments, you know, hear the comments, listen to the comments, deliberate it, and make the decision. You know, we're not a debating society. Okay?
Right.
So hear it, listen, consider, and decide. And, you know, some people will agree with your decision, some won't. But, you know, it's rare, in my experience, that people, well, I shouldn't say rare. It's unusual, though, when, you know, public comments and board members who don't see eye to eye, you know, sway the other one. Just, you know, you have a difference of opinion, which is perfectly fine. But let's not spend an hour and a half of everybody's time because a few people can't see eye to eye on an issue. Because that's what happens.
Right.
And
so
it really happens when you have to raise the rates by 15 or 20%. You know, we just beat that dead horse. And every board member I always hear, well, we want to give everybody, you know, their opportunity to speak. Absolutely. I just don't want to spend, you know, an hour because, you know, people like to debate.
It's almost as if because this is an issue for at least our community, it's almost as if you want to facilitate this both to formalize and remind people. It's almost like, okay, now is public comment period. Public comment number one, you have 3 minutes. Your time starts now. Then you say, after that's heard, we've heard you. Anyone from the board want to respond or comment, you have 5 minutes. You know, pause, see if you want to say something, or the board may say, no, we don't want to respond right now, we're just receiving it. And just say, okay, then that public comment has now ended. Let's talk about the next one. It's almost like you want to facilitate that so that you know it's acknowledged. You also prevent this back and forth and also manage the time. So something like that, right?
I think that's summarizing what I said, and I agree with that.
I don't think you're
going to
allow 8 minutes per person.
No. And I think we follow this.
And I think we have to be careful not to start saying, and one more thing, because the board members do that sometimes,
right,
where they go to another subject where we got to just say that.
Exactly.
You had your one question, you're done.
Whoever is our designated facilitator should, that's their role. You know, it's not so much to respond, or it's really, you know, coming up with meeting these rules. You only have 3 minutes. You have the option for 5 minutes. The chairman can extend if needed, but you basically do it one at a time so that it's facilitated, it's acknowledged, right? Like what you said, and then we have it on record, right?
Yeah. And I think George raised a good point. Questions and answers. These are not question and answer sessions. Okay?
No.
I mean, we're going to try to, you know, you can be a little bit flexible with that, but you always have to be careful because, a lot of public people will come with questions, not positions. So you just got to be wary of that. And at some point, you know, and this is where a good chairman comes in, where, you know, it's a fine line. There's a gray area. You allow the questions, but, you know, be careful not to allow it to turn into 20 questions. And public, you know, putting the chairman on the spot or another board member treasurer or the general manager. So, yeah, you just got to be careful. So.
Well, the public, okay. Public comments, they need to do a blue card, though, do they not? We're not just having open, random comments.
Well, I think that's your guys'
choice.
Your administration procedure now, which is fine. Yeah, that's very common in government. So, all right. So I got 15 minutes. That's my 15-minute reminder. So let's talk about this executive sessions. Here's the big kicker. Okay, two things to know. Obviously, you know the public's not there; they can't see this. And the reason you can't is that why? Because they're sensitive matters. One is personnel matters. Legal matters, real property transactions, okay, negotiations. Those are the big three, okay? If there are four other, actually there's more categories than that now. There used to only be seven, I think they added a couple. But those are the big three that you're always gonna get, okay? Now, personnel matters, okay, that's a lot of things. Yeah, it's a broad statement. But the big one is, you know, if you're talking about specific personnel, like a specific person, hire, fire, do whatever, you know, salary, you know, those types of things. If you're talking about, hey, we're thinking about your job consideration of, say, the general manager. You know, you hire one, you say that's not working out, you got to consider that, you know, you may be firing and you want to talk about it in an executive session. You can make that statement in an executive session and say, this is what we're gonna do. The employee who is being talked about can force it into the public, okay? So that's just something we need to know that happens. Sometimes that leads to some awkward conversations in public, but that's the way it goes. The other is legal advice. Obviously you need a lawyer there. So if you said, hey, we wanna talk about this in executive session, I'll tell you yes or no. You know, usually I have some guidelines that we can talk about those, but there's no need. I will make the call. You know, yes, that could be an executive session, though that shouldn't be. And then last, real property transactions. Obviously, you know, we've talked about them before. Those could be an executive session because how are you going to keep the price or, you know, what you're willing to pay away from, you know, the potential sellers. You know, if you said, okay, well, we're willing to spend $100,000 for this piece of land for this well, you know, but we were in public and they said, but we'll go up to 150. Well, guess what? Their price is 150, right? So without executive session, you wouldn't have that. And obviously in executive session, no voting. You can discuss, we can talk about the direction, but you can't vote. So questions?
I think more for me is a clarification too. I think on executive sessions, we do, like any other meeting, we take minutes, but they are not available to the public.
Correct.
Right. They can't be.
Right. Okay.
Because in nature.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're not on the website.
The one thing they is just on the call to the public and things of that nature, two issues that always pop up. Yeah, but Joanne Cecile, somebody joined us.
Yes, Joanna
Cecile.
Are we at that time?
Yeah. Well, this is an open meeting here.
Yeah, it's open meeting. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
It's an open meeting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, bottom line. I think you guys understand where we go on that executive session. Let's just run it by the attorney, make sure, and go from there. It's pretty straightforward usually. The last point on the agenda that I like, calling for future agenda items. I like that at the end because, as we discussed before, you know, something may arise in a report, something may arise in a public comment. Don't forget to ask. You know, don't forget to ask to repeat that because, you know, people who take minutes and things of that nature, it's sometimes hard to run through and get everything. So make sure we summarize that at the end. I will tell you this again. I think speaking limits are important. Keep them, because if not, you seem like you're going to be arbitrary when you're cutting people off and they get mad. But if they know they got 3 minutes, they can tailor their responses that way anyway. I'm not going to talk about motions because we've already talked about it, but the big four are usually approve, deny, amend, or table. Most of the time you're going to see an amendment, okay, or an approval. So those are the two major, major ones.
What about this?
Yeah.
Robert's Rules of Order can raise issues. We just took that out of our rules and regulations and made it, we're subject to the Arizona Open Meeting Law.
Exactly, and it was a great thing you did, because now you guys are no longer following Robert's Rules of Orders. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And, you know, that was one of those, it's one of those small steps that the district has taken that is going, that can save you a huge headache in the long run. So Robert's Rules of Order is just, it's difficult to follow. You know, so, and you don't follow it. You don't even come close. You know, watch Congress sometimes. They follow Robert's Rules of Order. Nobody here is saying, point of order, Mr. Chairman, blah, blah, blah. You know, you just, you're not. So it's okay. You know, we don't need them. They can run much more efficiently without them. My final thoughts on meetings is, honestly, meetings should take less than an hour. And you guys do a good job of that. But Chairman, that's your job, okay, is to make sure things keep moving along and moving quickly. Stick to the agenda. Again, that's the chairman's job. You know, the chairman runs the meeting. That's the one thing, that's the one directive in the statutes for your board members. In the Arizona Revised Statute, it says, Chairman, it's your job to run the meeting. So that's very clear. Board members, try not to micromanage. That's hard for many board members from many districts. They really want to jump in and micromanage every little thing. You know, I'll try to avoid that. I think you guys do a pretty good job of that too, even though sometimes the criticisms are that you don't, they do micromanage. I actually think you guys do a pretty good job of not micromanaging. You know, and finally, if you call an executive session, you know, talk to me first. Normally the attorney is going to be in the room, but you know, on employment matters, I'll be honest with you, I don't want to be there. You know, you guys could discuss that. Just run it by me first, and let's make sure that you know, we follow the steps to make sure that everything is done correctly. So, and after the meeting, okay, final thoughts, minutes have to be available within 3 working days. Now, again, some people will say posted. No, they don't have to be posted. They have to be available. Okay. Big difference. So that's it. So I'll take questions for 5 more minutes, and then I'm going to take a break because we got another meeting coming up.
I have one question. Is there a book on the Arizona statutes for our section that we can get without trying to go through the statutes and reading all the statutes? Is there one prepared
for open meetings?
No, for us. The state statutes that we're organized under.
Yeah, there is. And you know what I can do is, a lot of them, there's about 60 statutes that
right.
are a little, I mean, you start reading them, and most of them are designed to make sure engineers get paid.
Oh, wow.
Projects. Literally, if you read through it, that's what it's designed to do, is to make sure the lawyers, the financial consultants, and the engineers get paid all the money they're entitled to through a district. And it's crazy. But there's only about 10 statutes that are actually relevant to what you really need to know.
Okay.
Once the district is formed. And I mean, I can tell you right now, it's Title 48, 909, 910, and 48-1014. Those are the bigger ones. I'll give you a list of them, and I can actually download them and say, look, these are the, you know, less than a dozen statutes you actually should have.
Yeah, I think we should have those as board members.
You're right. And I can cut and paste those basically to help you.
Okay.
So
that'd be great.
Okay.
I guess the only thing I would add is, let's remember that when we leave the meeting,
We can't stand around and talk business if we're a quorum.
Not until a majority of people have left. That's the truth. Now, the last thought I would tell you is don't get hyper on, like, if you went to a local, you know, high school. Where do you guys go? Payson. The kids go to Payson High School, probably something.
Could be.
Well, let's say like four of you go watch a basketball game there. You weren't talking business. You were all going to be there. You don't have to post or do anything like that. It's only about business. So. There you go.
But we learned our lesson with trying to have lunch with the employees, with the board members, because it exactly happened the way I read it in the thing, that they're going to single you out, the employees are going to single you out and talk to you about stuff that they want taken care of.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. That is absolutely true.
All right, Steve, since I'm acting chairman here, I'm going to tell you you're done. And I'd like to do I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn so that we can have a 2-minute bathroom break before our next meeting.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
All agree?
Aye.
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 Disagree?
Aye.
Okay. We're adjourned.
I'll see you second.
Sorry.
Okay.
I need it.